Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, December 7, 2018. Human rights experts say some South Sudanese military leaders are responsible for crimes committed in the country.
Some commanders may have been in effective control of their troops at the time of those incidents, and the report suggests that those commanders have either failed to prevent the incident or failed to punish it after the fact.
And opposition leaders bicker over the position of vice president.
Let me give you this other one, which is maybe also one of the reasons why we are fighting on the table. That is the issue of the vice president that has been earmarked for Sua.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. UN human rights experts on South Sudan say some commanders in government and opposition areas are responsible for the atrocities committed across South Sudan during the nearly 5 years of conflict. The officials say a number of commanders failed to prevent crimes which led to human rights abuses across the country. Wake Simon Wudu reports for VOA from Juba.
Andrew Kelafam, member of the UN Human Rights Commission on South Sudan, told journalists in a news conference this afternoon that they already have a list of both commanders and civilians who will be held accountable for human rights abuses committed during the five-year conflict.
The longer report that we issued in March does go through a number of incidents where, if you read it carefully, you can see that some commanders may have been in effective control of their troops at the time of those incidents, and the report suggests that those commanders have either failed to prevent the incident or failed to punish it after the fact.
It marks the sixth time UN human rights experts have visited South Sudan and have documented a series of reports. Rights abuses are still at a peak in the country. This week, Doctors Without Borders said it treated 125 women and girls who were raped, beaten, and brutalized in South Sudan's Rubkona County over a 10-day period at the end of November. But Clapham says the UN Human Rights Reports reveals the names of primary perpetrators who have committed crimes, which includes the names of some military commanders. The nearly five-year conflict has killed nearly 400,000 people and forced millions out of their homes or to the brink of starvation. Yasmin Soka, chairperson of the UN Commission on Human Rights in South Sudan, says the UN is advocating for justice and accountability in South Sudan.
Our concern is to ensure that we address the impunity, that we are able to set up the Commission on Truth, Healing and Reconciliation speedily, as well as the hybrid court, and certainly to look at the beginnings of the Reparations and Compensation Authority.
The UN human rights experts say there are reports of new recruitment of armed forces by both government and opposition groups across the country. Bani Afeko is a member of the Human Rights Commission.
The level violations of the cessation of hostilities has decreased. There is a worrying trend that there is some recruitment that is going on. We don't know whether this is tactical in order to benefit from demobilization packages or this is a preparation to return to conflict. We hope not.
The peace agreement signed on September 12 prohibits the warring parties from recruiting soldiers, whether voluntarily or forced. The warring parties are also expected to respect cessation of hostilities signed in December 2017, which is part of the September 2018 peace deal. According to the implementation matrix of the peace agreement, the parties are to draw a roadmap for implementing the tasks of the pre-transitional period and prepare a budget for the activities of the pre-transitional period. For VOA News, I'm Waki Simon Wudu in Juba.
Members of the South Sudan Opposition Alliance, known as SOA, are arguing over leadership positions in the coalition that signed the September 12 peace deal. The coalition fractured into two factions, one led by Gabriel Changson and another led by General Peter Gadet Yach. Changson blames veteran South Sudanese politician Lam Akol for sowing the seeds of confusion within the coalition.
So if you don't paint the true picture of what has happened, then you will be misleading people, okay? If I ask Dr. Lam now, who were the candidates contesting for the seat of a share of SOA, he will not tell you. And if he tells you that there were people contesting, that would be a lie.
But you issued a statement, Honorable Gabriel Changson, saying that you will not accept Peter Gadet because he's indicted by the United Nations.
That is part of the issue. That is part of the discussion. That is not the acceptance. If those elections were carried out, did you not see what he posted, the results of the election, which he posted? Did you not see it? Okay, if you go by that one, what is the result? It is 4-4. Okay? And then if that is true, then where is the claim? Okay? And those things he posted were written by himself. Okay? He forged my signature. If you ask him now, he will never produce anything.
But I will also ask you how come SOA has no guidelines on elections? How come SOA did not even think about elections?
Because we wanted to make those guidelines, but he doesn't want them to be made because he was rushing. Okay? He was rushing. He thought that he got the numbers and that anything else can be done later on by the incoming chair. Okay? For me, yes, you are right. We are trying to go for democracy. And again, if General Gadet was his candidate, it will also be a contradiction, okay, to do two things. One, for SOA to nominate or to elect an indicted person. Okay? So that is the situation.
Now, how would you face...
Who is now dividing SOA?
Now, how would
Those reasons he used them to convince the ordinary people who do not know ourselves.
How would you face Juba when your camp is divided now? Because there's two factions of SOA now. How would you face Juba when your camp is divided?
I don't think there are two factions. You cannot call Dr. Lam and General Gadet to be factions. If they were convinced with their position, why should they recruit people from nowhere?
But okay. politics is about numbers.
They will have seven if it is the numbers.
Politics is about numbers.
Our issue.
Politics is about numbers.
When we confront our relationship with Juba is revitalize access and its implementation, and to relieving the suffering of our people.
I'm sorry for interrupting you here. You are saying you are committed to ending the war when you are fighting among yourselves on the table. That's a little bit strange.
Well, you see, let me give you this other one, which is maybe also one of the reasons why we are fighting on the table. That is the issue of the vice president. That has been earmarked for SOA. Dr. Lam is accusing me that my stay in Juba, I'm lobbying for the vice president position. Bokassoro has met with Taban Deng in Washington. He was promised by Taban to be the vice president. Hussein Abdelbaghi is doing the same. But one thing is very clear. Our positions will never be distributed by Tigono, nor by IO. They will only be distributed by SOA and its leadership.
Now, if you're all wrestling each other because you want to be the vice president, what is the guarantee?
It is himself. We are not wrestling. We are not wrestling. Me, I can even be out of that government and I will still support the relief of South Sudanese people because I can make a living without being a minister.
The optics of what is happening in SOA is quite ugly, And South Sudanese are asking you, asking the SOA leaders, why should they trust you?
Well, you see, you talk of one apple can destroy or can affect the other good apples, okay? I think what we are struggling for, if Dr. Lam is struggling to obstruct the peace process, we are struggling to maintain course so that this peace process is not disturbed, okay?
That's Gabriel Changson, the interim chairperson of the fractured South Sudan Opposition Alliance. He was speaking with me from Khartoum earlier yesterday. A group of women activists launched a campaign yesterday in Juba's capital under the theme Ma Mara Sakit, meaning not just a woman. Justice Achon, acting chairperson for South Sudan Law Society, says the Constitution of South Sudan stipulates that women shall be accorded full and equal dignity with men. She says lawmakers should pass a law to punish offenders of violence against women. Winnie Chirino reports for VOA from Juba.
Rhea William, executive director for non-profit organization Crown the Woman, says men who insult women should know that South Sudan wouldn't have existed if women had not voted for separation in the 2011 referendum. Rhea says she is a victim of the insult, Itamara Sakit, which means you are just a woman, a derogatory phrase used by men to describe women in South Sudan.
At least if a woman in this country, fat or thin, tall or short, black or brown, you're always told Itamara Sakit or Binia Sakit. I don't know if you feel this. I see this every day. I feel it every day. I fight with traffic men every day. I fight with people who check me at night every day. And I'm always told Itamara Sakit, askut tagwano sunuwa.
Susan Pascal, director for the group Women Advancement Organization, says the expression Mara Sakit has become a very common phrase among the men of South Sudan. She says South Sudan will not have a future so long as people continue believing that women and girls are second-class citizens in society.
Mara Sakit has really been an obstacle to our development, to our growth as Africans. And the word Mara Sakit, if we don't eliminate it, we are not going to move anywhere and we are not going to do anything better than others are doing in other countries.
Kiden Lucky, program manager for EVE organization, says many men in South Sudan believe women are supposed to stay at home, clean and look after children. She says the world has changed and women can do more than what men think.
So today we came with a campaign to fight this stigma of putting women down, looking at them as they're just mere tools to be used for whatever category the society is putting us in. So I think this campaign is important not only to raise awareness about gender-based violence, but also to educate our women, our young women, about their potential, what they can do to break from that category the society are putting us in.
Nyangwa William Nyon, director for Catwalk to Freedom, a national organization based in Kakuma Refugees Camp, says she has seen many South Sudanese women suffering in camp. She says girls should be given opportunities to go to school at an early age.
They have endured so much and they're still standing with our nation. I think it's about time, not just 25%. I think we should give them public space that they can speak their right. Put our girls in education, not to marry them off in an early age. They'll still be married, but in the proper age, let's say 18, or if she wants to be married.
Wani Michael is the founder of OK Foundation, a national organization in Juba. Michael says a majority of men in South Sudan undermine the potential of women.
I feel touched. Somebody say they are a circuit because I know women are not on the circuit. They can do a lot. So I feel impressed and I'm so much attached to my Mara Sakit campaign because I believe that women should be given the space that they deserve. They should be given equal rights that we have in the constitution of this country. And we have seen strong women that are doing better than even men.
Justice Ajonye Perpetua, acting chairperson for South Sudan Law Society, says South Sudan's constitution permits all levels of government to enact laws to combat harmful customs and traditions. She calls upon the government to improve on the legislation so that insults and hate speech are regarded as crimes.
Article 16, Clause 1 of the Constitution stipulates that women shall be accorded full and equal, not half. The word full is so clear. It is important to translate Article 16, Clause 1 of the Transitional Constitution to be put in the Penal Code. Penal Code, the PC, is where the crimes of the country lie. That it has to be punished. Any utterances, any abuses, any signals which belittles a woman and reduces her dignity and respect to her should be punished.
Women activists say they will travel to the other states of South Sudan to create awareness about the rights of women across South Sudan. For VOA News, I am Winnie Serino in Juba.
Still on women affairs, a group of U.S. senators is asking pointed questions of Facebook over reports that a South Sudanese child bride was advertised on Facebook. Reports that turned out to be untrue. Nine senators, including Florida Republican Mark Rubio and California Democrat Dianne Feinstein, co-signed a letter addressed to Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg, slamming the social media site and demanding that it put an immediate stop to these practices on its platform. The story sparked anger among South Sudanese who thought Facebook was conducting what activists call auction. Facebook has since removed the post describing the latest bid of 300 cows and at least two SUV vehicles for the girl. Facebook spokesperson Sarah Pollack told South Sudan in Focus that the social media platform removed the post as soon as it learned about it, which was about 2 weeks after the post appeared on Facebook on October 25th. She also reported to VOA that Facebook users who made the post has had its user privileges cancelled. Some international media outlets who inaccurately reported the story say an auction took place on Facebook and have since corrected their version of the story. Bidding for a girl to, in Dinka culture, marriage is done in a way where men compete for a girl. Plan International blamed the social media site for barbaric use of the technology, although a spokesman in Juba later said the site did not facilitate what the activists called auction. You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, EU donations for teachers did not reach where it's supposed to be. That story is coming up next after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what skill would you most like to master?
I would love to learn how to use my hands. That is craft work, making the baskets and doing more of the clay artwork.
So I think I will go technology any day, anytime. So mastering what I do already, which is practically technology, which is software development, applications development, analysis and data mining.
I would love to play the organ. I love it. I love the sound. I would want to have it at home to play to my family.
Now many people don't like to be teachers. So for me, I'm willing to be.
I appreciate people that I can sing because I can't sing myself and I don't have a very good voice. So I will go for singing.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. A civil society activist in Amadi State is urging the National Ministry of Education to investigate and prosecute state officials who stole money meant to pay teachers' salaries in the state. Amadi State Information Minister says a committee has been formed to look into the missing funds. Daniel Friday Martin files for VOA from Yei.
Festo Bali, executive director for the non-profit South Sudan Community Change Agency, alleges that more than 800,000 South Sudanese pounds meant for paying primary school teachers went missing this year. The money is part of incentives donated by the European Union to motivate teachers and to improve the state's quality of education. Bali says the state government should be transparent with its donor money.
The money is 800,720 South Sudanese pounds, and no one knows whereabouts of that money. As I'm speaking now, you know, the Mahdi state is already cut out of this program. And it is the venerable children, venerable teachers who are trying to help this country are the ones suffering. As I'm talking now, I have to make this appeal. One is that I'm appealing to the state government, more especially the office of the governor, to tell to the public exactly where is that money for the teachers. That money is meant for the teachers. They have to make it very clearly where is that money.
Amadi State Information Minister John Obote claims the amount was misappropriated by a former education official and that his office has information on what happened to the missing funds. Obote says state officials will trace the funds and make sure it is delivered to the appropriate schools.
The outcome which came out from the committee, so the minister, because he paid the wrong schools. So at this one, the result is of 300,000, which has now brought the problem to minister. And again, now the issue also arises for suspension of the 572 teachers not going to get this money, and the 85 schools is affected.
Amadi State former education minister Bukati Kenyi denies the allegations, saying the state government is to blame for the missing funds.
That money is paid in whole to the teachers, and the balance which remain was seized by the government. We use some money is borrowed by the government, and there is committee formed, and the committee looking into the allegations proves that there is nothing happened. There is no misuse of the money by us. I'm free. All the allegations said are not correct.
A teacher who identified himself only as chemist for fear of government retribution says a majority of teachers in Amadi State never received their $40 incentives from the state. Chemist is urging the state government to resolve that matter and pay the teachers.
It has lowered the morale of teachers since the teachers are now doing examination, and when they have heard about this one, it really has lowered their morale.
The incentives paid to teachers across South Sudan has been donated by the European Union through the National Ministry of General Education. Michael Opuke, the undersecretary in the Ministry of General Education, says an investigation committee discovered some corrupt financial management in how the EU donations is distributed in Amadi State. Lopuke says his ministry will arrest corrupt education officials who are involved in stealing donations.
The principle guiding the financial transaction management has been violated, and we are yet to hear that this money has been recovered fully.
Lopuke says unless the missing money is recovered, Amadi State will not benefit from the European Union Impact Project, and teachers will not get paid the money that was meant for them. For VOA News, I'm Daniel Friday Martin in Yatown.
From Yei, we move to Juba. Amnesty International is accusing South Sudan government of executing more people this year alone than it has done since gaining independence in 2011. The group says among those on death row is a child and a lactating mother. SINBO reports for VOA from Washington.
At least 342 people have been sentenced to death in South Sudan, and so far this year, according to Amnesty International, the country has executed seven people, including a child. South Sudan in Focus was not able to independently confirm that seven people were executed this year, or that more than 340 people were sentenced to death. John Yanyuki is the regional director for Amnesty International.
There are a huge number, up to 135, who we see at increased risk of execution in the coming months. And the reason we say that is our research has shown that executions are carried out in two main prisons in South Sudan, and a group of 135 men, women, and even children have been moved in the recent months to these two prisons. So, and that transfer is quite alarming, and it does sound a huge warning that there could be increased number of executions.
South Sudan presidential spokesman Atenua Keteng has categorically denied the accusations in a Reuters report, saying his country has placed a moratorium on executions since 2013. The death penalty is legal under South Sudan's penal code under very strict circumstances. The country's penal code allows the death sentence for crimes involving murder, terrorism resulting in death, aggravated drug trafficking, treason, and bearing false witness. Amnesty reports a child was among the seven people executed this year, an act the Human Rights Watchdog believes is a breach of the constitutional provisions stating that a child cannot be sentenced to death. That is also stated in South Sudan's international obligation under the Convention of the Rights of the Child. Amnesty International interviewed a 16-year-old boy on death row regarding his legal appeal process. He was convicted of committing murder. Amnesty claims at least 135 people have been transferred to prisons in Wau and Juba, which are notorious for performing executions. Nyanyuki says it's alarming that more than 340 people are on death row in South Sudan.
So what that means is that there appears to be a greater propensity and use of the death penalty, use of this punishment, rather than looking for alternative modes of punishment and other sentences. And why that is alarming is that since 2011, at no point have we seen such a huge number of people on death row and with such an increased number of persons being executed.
South Sudan and Somalia are the only two countries in sub-Saharan Africa, on Amnesty's record, who have performed executions this year. The difference, according to Nyanyuki, is that South Sudan has an increasing number of executions compared to other sub-Saharan countries, where executions are decreasing and the number of death sentences ordered by the courts are dropping. Nyanyuki says Amnesty believes the death penalty is wrong, however it is carried out, and South Sudan's method of execution is by hanging.
It is inhumane, it is cruel, regardless of the method that is used. So there is no form of death of execution that is acceptable. All of them are violent, they are cruel, inhuman, and the most severe form of punishment. And ultimately, regardless of the method that is used in the country, it takes away the right to life, and there's really no benefit in terms of deterring crime or even it being an appropriate form of punishment.
Nyanyuki is calling on South Sudan's government to commute all death sentences to prison terms and abolish the death penalty in the country. Ayan Dengbior, VOA News, Washington.
That's our show for this Friday. We now leave you with the song Ayan Tam Mohaba by Sultan Clinton.
Ayan Tam Mohaba. Binere Jamil, number one, Sato Kada Waka Waka Besado. Ini among them, my like.
Excuse me, lady, what's your name, baby? It's a jolly Sinta Kimono. Baby, a good Kimono. Motemanangai.
Ni ada kutu mele mata ifo jadi. Ana maro za kana biga bamu na bolesu. Isi tani ga magi sta su. Ana
tabani eta mazaher. Ana geni stand up physically ta biga ta kulu yomo. Ana biga bu honu so bara ana tala mojuno. Ta kani magi seta go wana salu minyo kasa. Kani tadero so manesia.
We have been listening to Sultan Clinton with the song Ayan Tam Mohaba. This title, I don't have a translation of it in English. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend and join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Zahe, it's a kiss and take away. And again, if it is so, but I put a good last month to the other. And I make a bamboo shot. There is a hell of a kiss and take away. Kiss and ties are to be the next.
I see kiss him tiny, Sikulu Kalam Taki. I pick up to a lemon, not to allow a blue. No man again, you sell your shana, hallelujah.
Baba
Marisa Kulana Sibu, a shana, hallelujah. Kanita mabise de luana asalu kikoga.
Hallelujah.